I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back, no place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class.
Good morning, Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School's the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. There's always more to learn about overcoming, and I don't get tired of winning. Do you? I don't want to stop winning. I want even more winning, right? And the scripture said he always causes us to triumph in him. His will, God's will, is that we always overcome every challenge, every trial, every issue in this life. And he said, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So, Father, we all present ourselves before you today, asking that you would put into us, feed into us your anointed words and the supply and quickening of your Holy Spirit to give us just what we need, that we might grow and grow up in you and become strong and walk in victory and overcoming triumph. We ask for the utterance and ears to hear it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
For some weeks now, we've been on this series that we're calling Faith for Provision. And we're going one by one through 30 reasons from Scripture, not opinions, truths, Scriptures, that reveal that abundant provision is always God's will for us all. Now, I know not everyone believes that, which is why I've been on this for weeks and weeks now. And we're going to continue for weeks and weeks. Why? Because if you accept the Word of God, what we're talking about should mean something to you. If you hold your own personal opinions above the Word of God, I can't help you. In fact, nobody can. In fact, you put yourself out of God's help if you ignore what He said. But we're not supposed to just formulate our own beliefs. I've had people say, well, I got a right to my beliefs. Well, as an American, maybe you do. As a citizen of some other country, as a Christian, you don't have a right to your own beliefs. As a Christian, you're saying, I bowed my knee to the Lordship of Jesus. You believe what He tells you to believe. You don't just make stuff up. You don't just formulate your own. And so we hold the written Word of God to be first place and final authority.
Yes.
On everything. Regardless of what I thought or you thought or wanted or imagined or anybody else, I'm not the authority. You're not the authority. It is written.
Amen.
Is the final Word. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
Everybody said out loud, God's Word.
God's Word.
His written Word.
His written Word.
The Bible.
The Bible.
Is first place.
Is first place.
And final authority.
And final authority.
For every question.
For every question.
Every issue.
Every issue.
For everyone.
For everyone.
Amen.
Amen.
Now see, you don't have to accept that. You can totally reject it. You can say, I just think that's another book. I don't agree with it. You know, you can. God won't force you. He won't make you. And you can finish your life and you can die like that. And the moment you do, when you do die and your spirit leaves your body, you're going to realize how wrong you were.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be too late. But you could make a choice.
Yes.
And you could join us.
Right.
We're happy.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Y'all are just, you know, emotional and you need the crutch of religion. Leave us alone.
Yes.
We're happy. Is that right? But you're wrong.
Yes.
It actually takes more strength to be a believer than it does to be an unbeliever. And faith is a choice. I've heard people say, well, I'm sorry, I just can't believe that. By reason of what believing is, that's an untrue statement. You can believe anything you choose to believe. Just listen to what people believe.
Right.
People believe bizarre stuff with no evidence whatsoever. You can believe anything you choose to believe. It's a choice. It's not based on what you see. It's not based on what you feel. Faith, substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. Thank God, the choice to believe God changes everything about you, your life, and your future. Everybody said out loud, I have chosen, to believe in the Lord God.
To believe in the Lord God.
The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Father of our Lord Jesus. I believe in God. Hallelujah. Well, that's what faith school's about. When we say faith, we don't just mean abstract faith. We mean faith in God. So now we've gone through one by one. We're up to reason number 14 now in our study. And let's continue with it today. Go to the book of Joel again, if you would, chapter 2. And also, let's turn to Job, the first chapter. Joel 2 and Job chapter 1. Our 14th reason that we're into now is that we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all because, number 14, God is the God of restoration. Who is He? What is He? What is His will? What is His plan? We looked previously at multiple names of who God says He is, and every one of those revealed something about His character and nature and will and plan, and every one of them is good.
Amen.
Huh? Yes. Like we said, there is no Jehovah Cheapo.
No.
Jehovah Won't You Broco, you know? No, no. Jehovah Jireh, right? El Shaddai. I mean, you can't twist poverty out of that. Well, here's another one. He's the God of restoration. You see it through numerous scriptures. We saw in Joel 2 that when they had gotten away from God, forsaken Him, but then repented and come back to Him, they had been, you know, oppressed and cursed and death and all this kind of stuff. But they've come back now, and the Lord said, I'm going to rain on you. I'm going to rain blessing on you. And the result of that's going to be, verse 24, the floors are going to be full of wheat. The vats are going to overflow with wine and oil. That's not lack. Now, come on, think about it. You're no longer away from God. You're no longer being crushed by your enemy. You're no longer going hungry. Everybody's got plenty. You might think, we've arrived. This is good, right? God says, I'm not done. And, somebody say and. And I will restore to you the years that the locust ate and the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the pot. I'm going to restore to you what you lost for past years. Is that a good God?
Yes.
I mean, it's not His fault they got in such a mess. He's not the one made them go away and replace Him with false gods. And yet, His mercy endures forever. He's so glad they've come back, right? Do you remember the Jesus telling the account of the prodigal son, right? And how that the father gave unto his two sons their inheritance before he passed on. And one of the sons took it and left home and went to party. And he partied and until the money was gone and his friends were gone. And next thing you know, he's out there feeding pigs and he's so hungry, he's wanting to get into the pig trough to get something to eat. And the Bible said he came to himself. and he realized, what am I doing here? In Father's house, there's plenty to eat. Father's house, and he realized, I should have never left Father's house. How many people does this describe, right? And so he said, I'm going home, and I'm going to tell the Father, I've sinned against God and against you. I'm not worthy to be your son because of the way I've acted, but would you give me a job? Let me work in the fields. So at least I'll have a place to sleep and have something to eat. And so he goes to return home. But the Father sees him in the distance and runs to meet him.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Runs to meet him and grabs him up and hugs him.
Yes.
Pig stink and all. Huh? And the son goes into his speech. He says, Daddy, I'm sorry. I've been such an idiot. He said, I'm not worthy to be your son. You don't owe me anything, and I know that, but I've hit rock bottom. Could you give me a job? I could work. And the father interrupts him, and he says, now, come on, go get that $5,000 suit I had made for me. Go get the nice shoes. Go get the big ring.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Go kill the fatted calf. We're going to have a party tonight.
Yes.
We're going to say, huh?
Yes.
What is that? Is that a picture of the Father?
Yes.
Did the prodigal son deserve any of that?
No.
He was going to be happy if he was just accepted back onto Father's property and given a job, even of menial tasks. He just wants to get out of this world that's been mean to him. He wants to come home, right? But no, that's not enough for the Father. I said, that's not enough for the Father. What does the Father want? Restore. Restore. He restored him just like that, full sonship privileges. Is that right?
Yes.
Even gets to wear Father's clothes,
yes.
Father's jewelry,
yes.
Father's shoes. Come on, are you with me or not? The best meal, the best everything. He deserves none of this, but this is God. Why? Because he's been missing meals with Father. He's been missing rejoicing and celebrating. He's restoring him.
Yes.
Come on, can you see that?
Yes.
He's the God of restoration, the Father of mercy. Somebody say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
And that's what he said here. I will restore to you the years that were eaten up and lost, and you will eat in plenty and be satisfied, and you will praise the name of the Lord your God, who's dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. And even folks that, you know, you came to the Lord maybe as a child or a teenager or a young person, and then for whatever reason you let the allure of the world tempt you, or somebody hurt your feelings, and somebody betrayed you, let you down. Could have been a pastor, minister, whoever. Do you know, just because people let you down, that doesn't mean God let you down?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
You would think people know that, but the enemy uses it. And a lot of times, it's just an excuse. They wanted to backslide anyway. They're just looking for an excuse. And so, now you hadn't been to church in years. Now you've done all kind of stuff you know you shouldn't be doing, and it has cost you. Some people, it destroyed your relationships. Some people, it destroyed your marriage. Some people, it's really caused problems with your kids. It's caused you to lose your profession. Any number of things. Come home.
Right.
What do you think, class?
Yes.
Come home.
Yes.
Quit running from God. Run to God.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
He wants to receive you.
Yes.
He wants to forgive you. He wants to wash you and cleanse you. Can you say amen?
Yes.
He wants to restore you. He wants to even restore some things you thought were lost and gone forever. Sometimes, you know, people think, well, you know, that relationship, that could never be fixed. You don't know who God is.
Right.
He can do things you thought impossible. You know, that, well, I messed it up so bad with my kids, it could never be right. You don't know who we're talking about here. God can do things you never imagined.
Right.
He can move on hearts. He can change situations. He can turn hearts and minds and thoughts. But you got to come to Him. And if you will, He will restore. Restore, like we said, means to be completed. Go to Job, if you would, the first chapter. And Job is a very interesting book. 42 chapters and a whole lot of things going on. And you hear people get all kind of ideas about Job. Something that's important to learn, everything that a person is quoted to having said in the Bible is not necessarily true. The Bible records that people said certain things, and it's true that they said it, but it doesn't mean what they said was true. Now, if God said it, it's true, right? If the prophet said it in God's name, that's true. If Jesus said it, it's true. But you'll find some of these things in Job, some things people said. You remember Job was attacked by the enemy, and then his three friends came to comfort him, and in his words, stayed to torment him. And they all said some things. Job said some things that wasn't right. His three friends said some things that was not right. And if you get to the end of the book, they had to repent. Job said, I repent for some things he had said about God. And then God said that some things that his three friends said, he said is not right. And if you'll ask Job to pray for you. So they all had to repent for a number of things they had said in those previous 40 chapters. But beginning in the first part of the book, you'll see that Job is a man blessed of God. In Job 1 and 3, his substance was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen, that'd be 1,000, 500 she-asses and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. Have you ever seen 7,000 sheep in one place? And that was just his sheep herd. He had camel herds, cattle, oxen, donkeys. He was the greatest or the most wealthy person in the East. And that's one of the reasons why the devil hated him so much. Because it talks about, him being a righteous man. And the devil, of course, hates a righteous witness in the earth. But if there's anything he hates worse than a righteous witness, it's a rich, righteous witness. Because in this world, money's power and influence. And Job had, he was a good man. He was a righteous man. And he was rich. And people wanted to hear what he had to say. And he was a person of influence. And verse 10, it said the enemy was accusing Job to God. And God, about Job, said, have you not made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he has on every side? Have you not blessed the work of his hands and his substance increased in the land? That was God's will. Who gave him 7,000 sheep? Who gave him all? Who made him the richest man in all the East? See, it sounds like Abraham. Sounds like his descendants. Sounds like David and Solomon, and right? God is a God who has made people amazingly wealthy and rich and powerful in times past. When did he change? When did he decide he didn't like that anymore, didn't want to do that anymore? Mm-mm. But what you'll see is that the enemy got access to Job. And I won't go into all the details, but he destroyed and devoured. He stirred up people to come and attack Job's flocks, kill his herdsmen, steal his herds. The devil caused a storm a storm of wind like a tornado to come and crash into the house where Job's kids were and kill them all. And the Bible said it was the devil that did that. Mm-hmm. Well, where do tornadoes come from today? Do you see what I'm talking about? And gangs being moved to go steal and kill and rob and break in houses. This is the devil.
Yes, it is.
It always has been. It is today. It's the devil influencing through bad spirits and people that are open to these things because of their greed and because of their selfishness and no respect for God and all these things. But what winds up is that Job is a devastated man. He goes from beautiful children, beautiful family, living in luxury, he'd be by today's standard multi-billionaire, to losing everything. He lost so much of his wealth, you know, was in his livestock and in his cattle. He lost it all. And he lost his kids at the same week. And then the Bible said the devil went out and smote Job with sore boils from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. Who did it?
The devil.
Says very plainly, the devil. The devil did it. You know, Jesus said when he ministered to the woman that had the spirit of infirmity and was bent over for years, he said, Satan bound this woman.
Uh-huh.
Jesus said that. Acts 10 talks about how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. Don't let somebody tell you that some stinking disease, some cancer, some AIDS, something is from God.
Right.
A blessing in disguise.
No.
To teach you it's a nasty, evil thing.
Yes.
That kills and destroys. It's of the devil.
Yes.
And God doesn't want you to have it.
That's
now, I know not everybody believes that, but what is your believing based on? Where's the scripture? I've been quoting scripture to you for minutes now. Right?
Yes.
Oppressed of the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Bound by the devil.
Yes.
The devil did it. That's three witnesses. Right?
Yes.
In Job and in the Gospels and in Acts.
Right.
In the mouth of two or three witnesses. Let every word be established.
Yes.
Sickness is of the devil.
Yes.
Hmm?
Yes.
Does it destroy?
Yes.
Does it kill?
Yes.
Does it steal?
Yes.
Then it's not God. It's the work of the thief, the evil one. And what we must do is learn from God how to receive our healing, how to resist these things and not give the enemy any place. And remember, what are we talking about? He's the God of what?
Restoration.
Restoration. Even if you've lost all kind of ground, you've lost your health, you've lost your half of your sanity, you've lost your peace of mind, you've lost your mobility, you've lost your ability to feel good and go and do things, all is not lost. God is the God of restoration. He can restore you. He will restore you. All you got to do is make a choice to believe Him.
Yes.
Say, God, I believe You. I believe You're a good God.
Good God.
Come on, say it out loud. I believe.
I believe.
You're a good God.
You're a good God.
Watching through the camera, say it out loud. I believe.
I believe.
You're a good God.
You're a good
God.
Lord God.
By Your mercies.
By Your mercies.
By Your goodness.
By Your goodness.
By Your power.
By Your power.
Restore me.
Restore me.
And all that pertains to me.
Restore me.
I receive it.
In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is it His will?
Yes
it is. Look in Job, the eighth chapter, I believe it is. Verse 5, after Job has been devoured by the enemy, his wealth, his family, and his own body, he's at a point where he wants to die. He just wants to quit and get out of the pain. Because see, he's hurting inside as much or more as he is outside. All his kids did. His wife says, why don't you just curse God and die? I mean, Even his wife's not supporting him anymore. And this is the enemy. This is the devil. And one of the great things about the book of Job is, have you read the end?
Yes.
Have you read the end? That's a little spoiler. Job 8, verse 5 said, if you would seek God betimes and make your supplication to the Almighty, if you were pure and upright, surely now he would awake for you and make the habitation of your righteousness prosperous. Do you know what that word is there? Restore. It's the same word that in Joel 2, he said, I'll restore to you. That he would make the habitation of your righteousness prosperous. Prospering is part of restoration. Listen to another, and he goes on to say, though your beginning was small, yet your latter end should greatly increase.
Hallelujah.
The Young's literal says, surely now he wakes for you and has completed the habitation of your righteousness. The NIV says, and restore you to your rightful place. Amplified says, make your righteous dwelling prosperous again. Well, is it saying the same thing? Restore you, prosperous again.
Yes.
That's the same word translated two different ways, meaning the same thing. He will build up your house again. Was Job at a low point?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Would it have been easy to give up?
Yes.
Oh, sure. And it can get to the place where it's a lot easier to just quit and go home than it is to stay and fight. But you don't want to miss out on God showing up and doing miraculous restoration in such a way that it is a witness to everybody that sees it and hears it. And people will say, did you hear about so-and-so calling your name perhaps? Oh, yeah, it was so sad. What happened? No, no. Have you heard what happened? Have you heard what happened since then? They're here. They're doing this. They got it all back. Now they even have this. Huh? And that's what Joel said. The response to that is you will praise the name of the Lord your God who has worked so wonderfully for you. Say it out loud, I will praise
the name of my God
who restores me.
Restore me, Lord,
and get glory to yourself, and let your goodness be seen by many. Hallelujah. Our time's up again today. The Lord's helping us. We'll see you soon back here in Faith School.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.